Now, I've come to bring some good news. I've come to talk about the world's greatest love story, the anthem of redemption. Our text comes from our Lord's Gospel according to John, 3rd chapter and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The world's greatest love story, the anthem of redemption. There's no other passage in all of the Bible that says so much to so many in so few words. Now here you have a volume in a verse, an ocean in a dewdrop, and a continent in a cup. Here you have the world's greatest love story. Someone has said it's too fair to touch, it's too good to be true, and it's too far away to be real. And the cynics are asking, is it so? If it is so, so what? Well, I've come to say that it is so. This phenomenon is beyond the ken of human comprehension. Frederick Faber, in his familiar hymn, said, "For the love of God is broader than the measure of a man's mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind." God's love is real. It has no beginning and will have no end. It is unchanging and it's unceasing. There's no way it can change because God cannot change. He can't change for the better and he can't change for the worse. He can't change for the better because he's the very embodiment of excellence himself. And he can't change for the worse because there's nothing in his power or will to hurt himself. So we just join with the writer of the Hebrews in saying he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we cannot properly say God's love was, but it forever is. God does not love us because we are lovely or lovable. His love exists not on account of our character, but on account of his. God does not love us because we are valuable, but we are valuable because God loves us. His love is stronger than sin, it's deeper than sorrow, and it's mightier than death. This is the world's greatest love story, the anthem of redemption. You know, I said it's the anthem of redemption because this story turns into a song. This music is written in the key of B. Be saved. And there are four movements. Movement number one gives us the cause of salvation. If you really want to know the cause of salvation, it's for God so loved the world. Movement number two gives us the cost of salvation. Now, salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It doesn't cost the sinner anything, but it costs God his only begotten Son. Movement number three gives us the condition of salvation, that whosoever believeth in him. And movement number four gives us the consequences of salvation. And here you have a double promise. One, should not perish. Two, shall have everlasting life. There's just so much in this text, I scarcely know how to approach it. Here we have a great love, a great gift, a great invitation, a great salvation. But I tell you, I'm going to talk about two nouns and two verbs and just quit. The two nouns are God and were. And the two verbs are loved and gave. Now, when we talk about God, we are talking about the ground and meaning of our existence. Now, God made the house in which man lives. He stepped back into the archives of eternity and then unrolled the blueprints to the foundation of this world. He hitched it on nothing and he fastened it by his will. He made the sun as a spark from the brilliance of his face. He made the wind from his breath and gave it headquarters in the four corners of the world. The great God Almighty shot the stars as a million skyrockets against the bosom of the black. And he scattered fleecy white clouds against the bosom of the blue. He dug deep the gorges, he piled up the hills, and he propped up the mountains by his will. The moon and the stars lean on his arm. He caused the heavens to weep, and the seas and rivers became full. Creeping and crawling creatures begin to move. Animals nibble wet green grass on the hillside. He made everything that is, and everything that he made is good. He made it without a defect in the design, without a flaw in the finish, without a grain of grit in the mechanism, and without a tremor in the movement. Not only did he make it, but he keeps it from chaos, and he holds it in perfect control. He directs every facet to the minutest detail. He directs the seasons and the sunbeams. He directs the snowflakes. He directs the weather to every degree of temperature. He directs the harvest to every wheat grain. He directs the whole year to every second. He directs the whole world to every molecule. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He made it and he holds it in perfect control. He supplies every vitamin for the body, every brain cell for the mind, and every light ray for the soul. You know, as I go about in this world, I find men standing in their shiny boots shaking. They're afraid that some trigger-happy fella is going to fire his rifle in the ammunition dump and blow up this world. But that's not so. This world is in God's hand. And when he gets good and ready, he'll bring things to a halt. Usually, people will tell me, talk to us in relevant terms. Talk to us in terms that we can understand and relate to. I said, well, all right, if you just want to hear it put in some modern terms, the great God who is the architect of this universe is coming down with a big bunch of keys in his hand, and he's going to look modern men in the face and say, gentlemen, it's closing time. When God gets good and ready, he will bring things to a halt. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, when we speak of world, we're talking about everything that God has made. And I remind you that God made this world and it is good. But we have corrupted ourselves and we make up this world and we say therefore that the world is bad. But every man is bad. He's a prodigal without Christ. He's a leper without Christ. He's a reprobate without Christ. But I've come to bring good news. And that is that a poor man has a chance. That a sick man can get well. That an ignorant man can become wise. That a bad man can be made good. A good man can be made better. And even a dead man can be made alive in Jesus Christ. He's our only hope. He's our only help. So this world is all that God has made. And then we come to the two verbs, loved and gave. And these two words work together invariably and inevitably. There's no real giving without love. God so loved the world, and the very next thing he gave. Oh, you ladies can listen to these sweet talks all you want to. Fella can tell you how much he loves you. But see what he's really willing to give. Because giving and love go together. You don't have one without the other. And you don't have any real giving without love. If someone hands you something, and then you get the idea that it wasn't done in love, he has to tell it all over town, talk about what he had to do for you, you just soon to hand it back to him. There's no real giving without love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, that is good news. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, the gospel is good news, but it's bad news first. You know, you've got to have bad news before you can appreciate good news. The wages of sin is death. That's the gospel, and it's good news. But the gift of God is eternal life. That's the gospel. And that's good news. You've got to have bad news first. The wages of sin is death. That's bad news. A few years ago, I went to our family doctor, and after his examination, he said, go in the office, I want to talk to you. And the very first thing he did was give me the bad news. And I like to have died just hearing the bad news. And then in a few moments, I saw a smile ripple over his face. And he said, I'm going to do certain things. I'm going to prescribe for you. And if you do what I tell you, in a matter of days, you'll be just as good as new. And that was good news. And I like to have gotten well just hearing the good news. The gospel is good news, but it's bad news first. There was a time when man wallowed in sin without a Savior, groped in darkness without light, struggled in bondage without redemption. But God sent his Son to live and to die and to live again, to live always, the just for the unjust, the sinner or the sinless for the sinner. Now, I don't have time this morning to tell you the whole story, but I just want to give you some headlines. Sin is transformed by grace. Hate is surrounded by love. Pride falls before meekness. Death is swallowed up in life. Death has no sting. The grave has no victory. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Redemption has reached its widest point. Conversion is cosmopolitan and salvation is full and free. Burdens do become blessings. Crosses are exchanged for crowns. Tragedies lead to triumph. Suffering can cause one to seek salvation. Sorrow can bring strength. Duty and discipline walk hand in hand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now that's the good news. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's no puzzle to put together. There's no mystery to solve. There's no foreign language to translate. There are no hieroglyphics to decipher. Just believe in him. And you know, I'm glad that you don't have to come to him and prove that you're good. Come to him as a sinner. Come to him just as you are. Receive him as he is and his grace saved. You know, I'm so glad that I don't have to go and bring him a long list of references. I don't have to have anybody to recommend me. Just come believing in him. And then I'm glad that I don't have to wait for the vote of the church. Just believe in him. Oh, you know, I'm glad that my salvation is not based upon what people think of me. You know, sometimes people come to me and they say, "Oh, Pastor, you are a wonderful person, you're a great leader, you're a good preacher," and all of that. And then I find that just as soon as they leave me, they go on and say something else about me. So I'm glad that my salvation is not based upon what people say. But when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, committed my whole being to him, he saved. And you know, I'm glad that I don't have to wait until I die before I'm saved. I'm glad that I don't have to wait until I come to the end of the journey before I have everlasting life. I have it now. I'm glad that as soon as I committed my ways to the Lord, he gave me salvation, and I have it now. I hear some people praying, "Lord, when I must come to die, then save me. Lord, when I must go somewhere and crawl up in a dying bed and have to learn how to die, Lord, save me." Well, who told you you were going anywhere else? And who told you you were going to have the strength or the time to crawl up in a dying bed? And then who told you you had to learn how to die? Dying will take care of itself. You learn how to live, and you don't learn how to live until you come to him who said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." When you come to him, he will receive you as you are, and he will in no wise cast you out. You don't have to come to him proving that I'm outstanding. You know, any movement that you get ready to become a part of, you've got to prove that you are somebody, that you're honest. Talk about your integrity and all of that. But thank the Lord you can come to Him just as you are. And you know, I'm glad that you don't have to be born of certain parents. You can just come as you are. I'm glad that you don't have to have a certain amount of money or a certain amount of education. Come as you are. Believe Him. Commit your ways to Him. His grace will save you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When I committed my ways to the Lord, it did away with my inferiority complex. For He said, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever believeth in Him. Oh, that put me on the same level with any other man. That did a lot for me. Not only that, but it gave me pardon for my past. You know, the biggest problem that every one of us has is trying to undo the past. And you found out that you can't do it. God is the only one, through Jesus Christ, who can forgive one of his past and undo his past. He's the only one who can forgive and who will forgive. And when he forgives, it is as if though you have never sinned. He's the only one who can cleanse a corrupt conscience. He's the only one who can give you peace of mind. Isn't it strange that we have so much to make us happy, but yet we live such miserable lives? You see, men are trying to eat their way to ecstasy. They're trying to drink their way to pleasure. They're trying to smoke their way to settle nerves. They're trying to puff their way to power and push their way to popularity. They're trying to bum their way to world peace, bully their way to friendship. But this only comes through Jesus Christ. Just believe in Him and you have everlasting life. That's good news for every body here. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, where you came from, where you're headed. Now we have nothing to do with where we came from. We came into this world without our permission, and we're going to have to leave without our consent. Oh, but we do have something to say about where we are going. You can settle it right here this morning. Your present decision determines your final destiny. You have the opportunity to decide here and now. You don't have to go and counsel with anybody. Just settle it in your own heart and mind. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let Him be the Lord of your life. And that question will be settled once and for all. Many times men are on their way somewhere and don't know where they head. Isn't it strange that if you're on a journey, you want to know where you're going? When I take a flight in an airplane, and I go through security, I'm all checked in, have my seat number, I've boarded the plane. The thing is airborne and I'm headed. And every once in a while I get the urge to look in here and pull out my ticket and just check it all over again. Now, everybody that I've passed by have said, this is the right place. But that still doesn't keep me from making sure. You ought to make sure this morning. Even though you know that you've been born again, even though you know that your name is written down, but there's no harm in checking it this morning and making sure that you're headed to your desired destination. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, I thrill every time I hear those words, for I know I have eternal life right now. And I'm not just to stand here and shout to you about this good news, but I want you to try it for yourself. If you don't have it, you can have it right now. Believe on Him. Commit your ways to Him. Accept Him as He is. And He'll give it to you right now. And the moment He gives it to you, He sends you to take it to somebody else. I'm not saved to just sit around. I'm not saved to just stand around and shout about my salvation, but I'm to take it and share it with somebody else. You know, this is good news. This is the world's greatest love story. This is the anthem of redemption. And the more you share it with somebody else, the more meaningful it becomes to you. Try. Try sharing it. You don't have to take a text and develop it homiletically, but just tell others what good things the Lord has done for you. Tell others. And as you tell it, it'll strengthen you in the journey. You'll have a song to sing in the time of sorrow. You know, where in the church where I serve as pastor, some years ago I would berate our people. I would get after them. Get on out here and tell the story. Get on out here and witness. But you know, it finally dawned on me that they didn't have anything to tell. And if they had, you wouldn't have to be all time behind them to tell it. Tell it. You know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If the Lord has redeemed you, if the Lord has saved you, the least you can do is say so. And I found out that when a man is born from above, you don't have to beg in the telling. Do you have a story to tell? And when I ask you that question, you turn around and ask it of me. And my answer is, yes, I have a story to tell to the nations. I have a story to tell. It's a story about every man having a date with destiny and a rendezvous with death and an appointment with God. I have a story to tell. It's a message to fallen men. It's greater than Plato's Republic. It's stronger than Moore's Utopia. It's more efficient than Marx and socialism. And it will outlast Jefferson's democracy. I have a story to tell. It's a message to fallen men. It's a message about a birth in Bethlehem, an agony in a garden, and a trial before Pilate. I have a story to tell. It's a story of a thorn-crowned brow, nail-pierced hands, and a wounded side. It's a record of a tragic Friday afternoon, a gloomy Saturday, and a victorious Sunday morning. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchase of God. I've been born of His Spirit. I've been washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. And I'm going to tell it until every house becomes a house of prayer. I'm going to tell it until every city becomes a new Jerusalem. I'm going to tell it until every sinner has been saved by grace. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, there are some here this morning who have committed their ways to the Lord. You've accepted him as Savior, but you're not letting him use you for his own glory and honor. Some are saying, I would witness for him, but I'm a little apprehensive. I don't know what to say. I don't know the approach to use. I would, but it's kind of embarrassing when people turn you down. The Lord knows you need help this morning. And he has invited you to come boldly before the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. He stands ready to help you. He's broadcasting pardon, but you've got to do away with your pride. Come and ask him for it. Oh, you know that you are deficient and you need help. Come on and ask him. Then there are some here this morning who have moved away from home. You have moved into this area. You've moved everything but your church letter. The Lord has given you this opportunity this morning to draw close to him and to rise up and do what he's asked of you to do. No Christian is satisfied to just say, I'm in Christ, and remain out of the church. For the church is the body of Christ. I'll admit that everybody who has their name on a church roll is not a Christian. The same as everything that lives in the water is not a fish. But every fish will live in the water. The moment a fish finds himself out of the water, he's fluttering with all of his might to get back into the water because he knows that he cannot long live out of the water. No Christian is going to be satisfied with no church hope. You want to be in line with the other children of God where you can worship and work and serve him. You grow and receive strength only as you align yourself with others for the furtherance of the gospel. Then there is still another who says, I know that the Lord has laid his hands on me. I know that he's given me a special assignment. And before long, I'm going to do it. But let me tell you, now is the time to rise up. Whatever the Lord has assigned for your hand to do, do it now. You see, now is all that we have. We are hung up between the no longer and the not yet. Whatever has been is no longer. Whatever is going to be is not yet. The only thing you have to depend on is now. Rise up. Follow the Lord fully now. Rise up just as you are. You don't have to leave here. You don't have to change clothes. Just as you are. Borderline salvation is better than being lost, but that's too dangerous to risk. That's the reason the prophet said, seek ye the Lord now while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and he will have mercy to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Will you do it now? Pastor's going to stand here and receive you. We're all praying for you. The Spirit bids you come. Heaven is waiting to rejoice. Come on now. Don't wait another moment. Come on now. You don't have to wait for a song. You don't have to wait for anybody else. This is your personal decision. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on as we sing the invitational hymn. Let us stand with bowed heads. What is your relationship to the Lord? Are you really in the center of His will? Do you know in your own heart and mind that you are where the Lord wants you to be, and that you're doing with all of your might that He has told you to do?